pray now, as we come to this time of hearing your word preached, I pray the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, would be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There's a popular story, you've probably heard of it or seen it at the Abbey, about footprints in the sand. A man who had gone to heaven was looking back on his life. He was walking along a beach with God. He noted that most of the time there were two sets of footprints side by side in the sand, but sometimes there was only one set of footprints. And this was always at those times when he was having the most trouble in life, when he was most discouraged, when he faced his greatest temptations. And he asked God, why is it during my toughest times I only saw one set of footprints? And God replied, I love you. I would never leave you. Those times when you see only one set of footprints in the sand are those times that I carry you. Now, this story isn't from the Bible, a parable or anything like that, but it illustrates how Jesus is good on his promise to always be with us and meet us in our needs. Our text for today is a follow-up from our text last week in Mark chapter 1. You can turn back to the gospel reading there. I'm going to be referring to it. Mark chapter 1, verse 29 to 39 this week, where first we see where Jesus had been in the tabernacle, and now we see him continuing his ministry of healing, where he healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law of a fever. And then not long after that, nearly everyone in the town came to him to be healed or to have a demon cast out. Yet, Jesus didn't want those demons speaking, because like the demon from verse 24, they would identify just who Jesus was, and he didn't want them to know yet because of the political and the religious leaders' interruptions of his ministry. So early the next morning, knowing that more and more people, as the word got out, would be trying to get to him for the same kind of healing and casting out of demons, Jesus leaves the town. His reason for wanting to get away comes in verse 35, where he went out early the next morning to pray in private. But it wasn't long and Peter and the others went looking for him and found him. And they tell Jesus, everybody's looking for you. In other words, Jesus wasn't making himself as available on the terms that the people wanted him to be. And that's really where the problem comes in. Like the people at Capernaum, we want a God, a Savior, on our terms, a God who meets our expectations, our wants, our desires, a God who stays where we want him, yet also acts the way that we want him to act. In a way, we try to make God into our own image of a God, or how it should be. And when we do this, it's not so much that God hides from us, but rather that we hide from God. We twist and confuse his message to us. And instead of trusting and accepting it through faith, that only he provides us. But the thing is, a God designed by us is not the kind of God that we truly need. Because if it were up to us, we surely would have never forced Jesus to go to the cross, right? We wouldn't have wanted that to happen. But yet today, the disciples' words remain true. The reality is we're all looking for some way to deal with the brokenness, the emptiness, the despair, the suffering that we see in this world. And we try to cope with it, whether that be through our work, through our money, through our family, our spouse, or our possessions. We seek to cope with it through power, prestige, or popularity. We seek to cope with it through substances or food or in sexual ways. which all ends us up depending on our own works and our own self-righteousness rather than surrendering ourselves at the altar of our Lord. Jesus had not only come to preach the law of repentance and the gospel of forgiveness, beginning with the fact that he himself must suffer all things and be rejected by these authorities and be killed, crucified, and raised in 3 days. Most importantly, he had come to be the gospel, the Word made flesh, so that by his death and resurrection, all of the requirements of the law are fulfilled, that our sins would be forgiven. And in that forgiveness, we are reconciled to God, that we would live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness and blessedness. The faith that he rightly gives us to hear this gospel, which is still given to us today as we hear his word spoken, as we sing his word through these hymns, and as we hear his word preached, as we hear his word of absolution, that our sins are forgiven, as we're reminded of it in our baptism, as water is splashed on us. And this morning, as we consume this bread and wine, we remember his words that the gospel provides, that Jesus will not leave us on the beach alone. Instead, he will always be before you, with you, and in you. He will always be guiding your thoughts, your words, your deeds, in ways that are pleasing to him. We will stumble, though, but it's true. We will still be tempted. We will still think that we are alone. And it's at times like that that we find it difficult to resist trying to make him into the God that we would like him to be, instead of the God that he reveals himself to be. You know, Jesus healed many, but he didn't heal some. He provided food to the crowds, but yet he didn't provide it to all. He drove out demons, but he didn't drive out every single demon in this world. But primarily, Jesus came to be the gospel, to explain the gospel, which is the very love of God made real. The very love of God applied to sinners so that they might have life. These words are words of comfort, really. But sometimes we get stubborn, and we want to resist God's comfort for us. Like the 3-year-old who hadn't had a nap all day long, and it was late at night, and he was getting crabby because we knew he needed to sleep, right? And then finally his brother picks him up in his arms and he kicks him and fights him and screams. But the brother hangs on. And then it's not long that he calms down and he goes to sleep. That's the picture that we have of God with us. Oftentimes we fight and we kick him. The stream is there. He's holding us. He's comforting us. He's waiting for us. So today, that you would let God comfort you, to relieve whatever that thing is, the worries, the anxiety, the temptations, the fears, let him comfort you. Let him comfort you this morning, just being here as a family of God, being in the presence of brothers and sisters in Christ, the body of Christ, whether that be in person or just joining us. I don't know if it's working, but we thank God that we're able to come together in the midst of and receive the sacrament, that God would comfort us in that. Everyone is looking for Jesus, and he has found you. and he calls you to fill in that gap for them too. To be there to listen, to let them know that he is near them as well, that he wants to be near them, that he wants to dwell with them. And then his promise is for you today, and it remains with you for the rest of your life and forever. And let us pray. Father, I thank you for our time together. I thank you also for your reminder of your promise and your comfort to us. I thank you, Lord, that you gather your people all over the world right now, even in gatherings like this. We know that, Lord, you have the big picture, that we are your children, that you hold us, Lord, and you don't force us. And so, Lord, I pray that we would receive your comfort today in this place again. And I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.